Good morning. We are on day 11. We're halfway through. I said that yesterday, but there were some Pharisees around that pointed out we were only 47% of the way through, but now we can say we're halfway through. And we come to this marvelous story that begins with sadness and grief and perplexion. Why didn't Jesus come? And the story ends with victory and fear. What if everybody starts to believe Jesus? And then the Romans will come. And in the middle, there's this marvelous story of two sisters who come with their complaints to Jesus. Words that are both a complaint and a statement of faith. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would be alive. And sometimes as we are going through life, we want to say to God, Lord, if only you had done what we wanted you to do, things would be so much better. Not knowing the great things God has in store for us. All throughout John, we see Jesus overcoming the things of this world to usher in the kingdom of God and give people a glimpse of what it's like for God to be among us. And we come to this point where it's almost like a crescendo. It's almost like the climax. I mean, what can be better than bringing a dead man back to life? And Jesus wants us to know that there are things worse than dying. And one of them is living without living. You know what I mean. And we have those seasons in our lives where it seems like we wake up every morning and we consume the oxygen and we take in our food, but we plod through the day without that spark of life that brings us joy. The disciples didn't know why Jesus wouldn't come to take care of Lazarus and heal him. Or some of them figured, well, yes, there's danger there. We don't want to get near Jerusalem because things are getting pretty tense over there, so we understand, but isn't that kind of cowardly for Jesus to hang back and not even get into Bethany so that he could take care of Lazarus? But Jesus comes in and surveys the scene. And we see two emotions elicited from Jesus. One is anger. Is he angry at Martha and Mary or Lazarus? Or is he angry at Thomas who said, well, then we'll go with him and die with him? You know, that kind of negativity never helps. Or was he angry that the power of death still held sway over the people that he loved? And this work on earth would not be done until he hung from the cross and said, it is finished. And then there was this grief and sadness which he shared with Martha and Mary. He knew what was about to happen, so certainly he wasn't grieving for Lazarus, but he cried. He cried for the sorrow of this world. And when we are in sorrow too, he cries with us. So this story is magnificent in its scope and its breadth because it runs the gamut of emotions and it runs the gamut from celebration to fear. And it proclaims that Christ has victory over hell and death. That not even being dead in the tomb 4 days can take away your life so much that Jesus can't bring it back. Love that story. But there's a second stage to this story. We need to keep reading through the 11th chapter of John, and I want to call your attention to that. We don't have time to read it all right now. It's a pretty long stretch of scriptures, but I do encourage you to read that whole chapter. Because what happens is this. The celebration of the Passover is near. which means Jerusalem is packed to the gills with people coming for the celebration. And many of them walked to Bethany, which is just a couple of miles down the road, to console Martha and Mary. So now you see that there's a large group of people spilling out of Jerusalem into Bethany. They're not alone. There are a lot of people there, believers and non-believers, that witness the resurrection of Lazarus. And the scriptures tell us that when that happened, many of them began to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But then some of them went back to the Pharisees and told what they saw. And the Pharisees were alarmed. Isn't it funny how something that ought to be good news for everybody comes across as bad news for some people? I mean, who can be upset when LSU wins the national championship? Well, Clemson, for one, right? But in this case, they saw that as a threat. They were already angry at Jesus for some of the things that seemed like blasphemy, and in fact were, technically. I mean, who can say I'm God but Jesus? But really, they were afraid that too many people would start to believe. This Jesus thing is getting out of hand, and we can't let that happen, because if everybody starts to believe in Jesus, then there will be mobs of people singing his praises. And the Romans have a bad way of dealing with mobs. They take care of things in a very persuasive fashion, and we don't need that. And so Caiaphas, prophetically, not knowing he was a prophet, prophetically said, it's better for one man to die for all the people than for a whole nation to perish. Echo back to chapter 3, that God so loved the world, he let one man die so that all the world would not perish but have everlasting life. Who ever thought Caiaphas would be the one to say that? But he did. And so they started a plot to kill Jesus. Actually, they'd been kind of plotting around it, but now they were really intent on doing it. It had to happen. And it especially had to happen before Passover, or at least at that time, because everybody was in town and they didn't want to have Jesus completely throw the whole city into turmoil. It had to happen. And that's what I want to think about today. That when good things happen, when God starts to move among us, it's a threat to somebody. And I think you know who that somebody is. Last night we started our next reboot class. I have lost count. I think we're up to, this may be our fourth class. And every time we have a reboot class, we see veterans and active duty people go from death to life. It's an amazing thing. But you know what else also happens whenever we start a reboot class? The people leading the class have a lot of turmoil going on in their life. One of them said, you know, the last time we started a reboot class, my dog died. And yesterday, my other dog died. That's hitting below the belt, Satan. But it's the kind of battle we find ourselves in. So we should not be a surprised if halfway through this 21 days we start to see the forces work against us. We should not be surprised to see that things are getting tougher. And they're not getting tougher because God is not there. They're not getting tougher because Jesus has stayed back away from Bethany. They're getting tougher because we're getting closer. And we need to be prepared for that. We cannot expect to change our lives and let the devil not notice. we can expect there's going to be some turmoil. I have a confession to make. Every time I drive by Five Guys, my car wants to turn that way. I could use a hamburger right about now, but I'm gonna stick with it. So what is a celebration for us can also be a warning that things are going to get tough. And what is a warning for us can also be an opportunity for us to steel ourselves, to gird up our loins, metaphorically speaking, and put on the whole armor of God so that we can face what we're about to face. And when we stare that force down, there will be a breakthrough in our lives and in the life of the church. 2019 is behind us now, praise the Lord. 2020 is ahead of us, and God is with us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's all I have to say. So we are here. We've had our time of prayer. But as we have been doing through this time, the altar is open again. You can stay here as long as you like. After hearing this, you may have some more prayers to pray. But let this be your time with God. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, we thank you for your word and how it speaks afresh to us in every hearing. We thank you for the opportunities that come our way, and we ask that you, by your grace, help us to make the most of this day, with all of its trials and tribulations and all of the things that we have to face down and all of the promise that lifts us up and gives us courage to face what we face. For we know the battle is in your hands, and you bid us to stand and watch what the strong right arm of the Lord can do. Amen.